Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in East County. County health officials are warning about the most severe flu outbreak in a decade, with the death toll now including an infant, and we'll have the tales. Recreational marijuana sales are now legal in California. Find out what you should know about driving laws, federal restrictions, and health cautions regarding legal weed on today's show. Then on Green Scene, hear about a victory for Spring Valley residents celebrating a new county preserve atop Dictionary Hill. Wildfires in California are breaking all records. Learn more later on today. On our Capitol Report, hear about the Justice Department rolling back Obama-era protections on excessive fines on poor people. Plus, hear about President Donald Trump taunting North Korea's leader over the size of his nuclear button. In Sacramento, Democrats have lost their supermajority at the state capitol. Find out why and how this could impact state budget negotiations on today's show. Local refugees and immigrants are giving back to communities that helped them in the past, serving up food for the homeless in El Cajon. In Casa de Oro, the county is seeking public input on a proposed revitalization plan. Find out how you can make your voice heard. On Destination East County, we'll have all the top festivals and events coming up across our region, from hawk watching to a stargazing party, concerts, plays, and Carnival Fantastique. There's some good news from public health officials on the hepatitis crisis, and also good news for survivors of the Lilac Fire here in San Diego County, since a federal disaster declaration has just been issued. We'll also have news about a recent brush fire in La Mesa. And then on People Power, hear about Martin Luther King commemorative events to honor local civil rights leaders in Lemon Grove, plus a march slated in San Diego. On Crime Beat, learn about a motorist sought by the CHP following a fatal hit-and-run accident in Santa Isabel. Hear why you should recycle your Christmas tree now, if you haven't already done so, for safety's sake. And on Green Scene, learn about a new hiking app that will take you on a virtual tour of trails in our county parks. We'll have all these stories on today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show, where East County matters.
A one-year-old baby died of the flu locally on New Year's Eve. The infant is one of 45 flu deaths this season in San Diego County. So far, over 7,300 cases of the flu have been confirmed locally this season, including over 3,300 cases in the past week. The number of cases reported last week is higher than the totals during flu seasons in the last 3 years. This is partly due to a more severe strain of flu, but also better testing procedures. Flu-like illnesses accounted for 13% of all hospital emergency department visits in the past week. Given the high number of deaths and cases, local health officials are urging people to stay home if they are sick and to stay away from sick people. It's also wisest to avoid shaking hands, sharing food or drinks, and touching your eyes, nose, and mouth to minimize your risk of catching the flu. Using hand sanitizers, washing hands frequently, and sanitizing commonly touched surfaces are also advised. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends that everyone 6 months and older get vaccinated with a flu shot, though it takes 2 weeks for immunity to develop. Vaccination is especially important for people who are at high risk of developing serious complications from influenza. They include people with chronic medical conditions like asthma, diabetes, and lung disease, even if symptoms are under control, pregnant women, people 65 years and older, people who live with or care for others who are at higher risk. The flu vaccine is available at doctors' offices and pharmacies. If you don't have medical insurance, you can go to a county public health center to get vaccinated. For a list of locations, visit SDIZ.org or call 211.
California's new legal pot law is creating quite a buzz. Customers lined up before dawn at several of San Diego's 8 legal recreational marijuana shops that opened their doors on January 1st. The city was among the first places in California to permit recreational cannabis sales under Prop 64, which voters approved in 2016 and which took effect on New Year's Day. At the Apothecary in Mission Valley, a line wrapped around the building and snaked through the dispensary's interior. It wasn't just millennials buying legal pot. People with gray hair were in the line, along with tourists from outside the region. It's unclear whether San Diego is experiencing a marijuana tourism boom or if those were visitors in town due to the holidays. Inside the Apothecary, bud tenders offered up advice on products ranging from marijuana for smoking or vaping to edibles, such as cookies and candies, including some in packages with signs touting sensible size, high dose. The new law allows cash-only sales to anyone with ID, providing they are over 21 years old. You can buy up to 1 ounce per person per day for recreational purposes, though medical users with prescriptions can buy up to 8 ounces per day. Recreational marijuana users pay higher prices, since patients with state-issued medical marijuana cards are charged at a lower tax rate. Here's what you need to know before going shopping for legal weed. Smoking marijuana in public places is prohibited. You can now transport marijuana within the legal limits in California in the trunk of your vehicle. But it is illegal for a driver or passenger to smoke or use ingestible forms of marijuana in a vehicle. Driving under the influence of marijuana is against the law, though California has not established precise standards, so an arrest is largely up to an officer's discretion, such as if a driver is observed driving erratically. Delivery services are legal within San Diego's city limits, but not in the unincorporated areas of the county. Cities within the county each set their own rules. You can legally grow up to 6 marijuana plants per household, though some jurisdictions have imposed limits, such as indoor growing only. Some landlords may also impose restrictions on growing and smoking pot. While the city of San Diego has legalized recreational marijuana dispensaries, state law does not require local jurisdictions to permit sales. And the county of San Diego, as well as cities in East County, have banned recreational sales. Voters in La Mesa and Lemon Grove have approved medical marijuana sales, with several medical cannabis dispensaries in the pipeline, but not recreational outlets. Visitors to legal dispensaries can choose from a variety of forms that may include tinctures or drops taken under the tongue, ointments or cream pain rubs, as well as smoking, vaping, and edible marijuana products. First-time users should be cautious when trying edibles that can produce hallucinogenic effects. Be sure to check dosage recommendations, which may only be a bite or two of a cookie, for example, not the whole thing. Marijuana contains THC and CBD, two active components. THC produces highs, while CBD does not. CBD is favored by medical patients who don't want to get high, but seek relief from symptoms such as seizures. There are two psychoactive strains of marijuana, sativa and indica. Sativa tends to be stimulating, while indica is calming or sedated. There are also hybrid versions available with a combination of the two. Both produce highs. Although most states have legalized medical marijuana and about a half dozen allow recreational use, all marijuana use and sales remain illegal under federal law. Border Patrol checkpoints, including not only those at the international border, but also those inside the U.S., such as along I-8 in Pine Valley and I-5 near Oceanside, are seizing marijuana found in vehicles. Drivers can be arrested and charged under federal drug laws, so avoid carrying any pot products if you must drive through a checkpoint. Though cannabis can have positive health effects such as relief from pain, seizures, or nausea from chemotherapy, it does also have some documented negative health impacts. Before you indulge in recreational or medical cannabis, consider these facts. Multiple studies have shown a link between marijuana use and increased risk of schizophrenia. evidence presented at the World Psychiatric Association's World Congress in Berlin in October reported that pot use by adolescents is a major risk factor for developing schizophrenia. The more pot is consumed, the higher risk becomes, Scientific American reported. A study reported by the BBC earlier found that adolescent use of pot doubled risk of schizophrenia. Some studies found links between heavy use at older ages and psychosis, though other studies found cannabis may be beneficial for some mental health conditions. Smoking marijuana, as with smoking tobacco, can have long-term impacts on respiratory health. Marijuana use by pregnant women has also been found to produce babies with lower birth weights, according to a report on the benefits and negative effects of marijuana published last year by the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine. The organization has recommended increased research to determine safety and effectiveness of marijuana for a variety of conditions, but for now, most of that research is taking place overseas, since the federal government still classifies marijuana as a Schedule I drug, in the same category as narcotics such as heroin. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Gene Carpenter.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Miriam Raftery with a Green Scene Report. For more than 15 years, Spring Valley residents have worked to protect Dictionary Hill from developers who sought to build houses and blast the top off the mountain, which has an elevation of over 1,000 feet. On New Year's Day, residents hiked to the top of Dictionary Hill to celebrate a landmark victory. County supervisors have voted to acquire and preserve 175 acres of coastal sage scrub and habitat, including Dictionary Hill as well as adjacent canyons and ridgelines. Dictionary Hill was originally named Lookout Mountain. That's because Spring Valley's founder, Rufus King Porter, used to climb the hill to watch for ships coming into San Diego Bay to see if the steamer had arrived before he traveled to Old Town to sell his produce. Today, you can still enjoy these panoramic views from atop the peak, though the name changed in the early 1900s, when a real estate developer offered a free set of encyclopedias and a dictionary for every lot sold, and soon the name Dictionary Hill took root. The land in the newly created preserve will be added to the county's Multiple Species Conservation Program, which aims to assure long-term survival of sensitive plants and animals, while balancing public need for open space versus development. The county will pay an appraised value of $5.5 million for the property, with more funds allocated for signs, access control, and vegetation management. County Parks Department will maintain the preserve and partner with Dictionary Hill Open Space Advocates in the management, including volunteer patrols and litter removal, the group announced in a special edition December newsletter. Dictionary Hill Open Space Advocate President Chris Heiserman told supervisors that preserving this valuable open space in the heart of Spring Valley for everyone to enjoy will be a great investment in the community that will pay dividends for future generations. He thanked Supervisor Diane Jacob and County Parks and Recreation Director Brian Albright for their support and diligence to make this dream a reality. The Dictionary Hill Preserve is home to a variety of wildlife, including bobcats, coyotes, gray foxes, migrating and native songbirds such as California gnatcatchers and cactus wrens, birds of prey such as hawks and kestrels, the rare Kino checkerspot butterfly, endangered or threatened reptiles such as the San Diego horned lizard, and amphibians such as the arroyo toad, as well as plants such as laurel sumac and, in springtime, an array of colorful wildflowers. The preserve's hours are from sunrise to sunset. Next up, the community group hopes to add guided walks for the public and workshops for students. There are also plans to create and improve designated hiking trails and restore areas damaged by off-road vehicles. You can volunteer or learn more by visiting dictionaryhill.info.
The number of wildfires last year in California was unprecedented, as was the total number of acres burned. Cal Fire Public Information Officer Isaac Sanchez reports, as we move into the new year, Sanchez says 2017 will become the history that we measure all future fires against. But he adds, we must recognize that despite the reset, the fire danger in San Diego remains elevated. From January 1st through December 31st last year, 9,133 fires under state or federal command burned nearly 1.3 million acres in California. That total doesn't include the Thomas Fire, the largest wildfire in California that scorched over 281,600 acres at year's end. CAL FIRE's jurisdiction alone included 7,117 fires that scorched over 500,000 acres in 2017. By contrast, the historical average for CAL FIRE's jurisdiction is 4,835 fires, and 2016 had 4,785 fires. The fires have not abated even in midwinter. Last week alone, 80 new wildfires occurred in California, including 75 in CAL FIRE's jurisdiction. Sanchez concludes, CAL FIRE San Diego and San Diego County Fire would like to take this opportunity to remind the public that wildland fire prevention and preparedness are a year-round effort. For tips on personal and family preparation, you can visit readyforfire.org and readysandiego.org. Additionally, CAL FIRE maintains an app for cell phones that can be found by searching Ready for Wildfire in Apple or Android app stores. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Gene Carpenter.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital.
This is Jonathan Getz with the Capitol Report. U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has rescinded an Obama administration guideline that advised local courts against imposing excessive fines and fees on poor people. The Obama administration issued that guideline in response to findings after the shooting of Michael Brown by a police officer in Ferguson, Missouri. Federal investigators looking into charges of racism and civil rights violations in Ferguson discovered that the city had a system that trapped poor people into a cycle of rising fines and fees for even minor infractions, jailing poor people repeatedly when they could not afford to pay off such debts. Peter Edelman, faculty director of Georgetown Law School's Center on Poverty and Inequality, is the author of a book titled Not a Crime to Be Poor, The Criminalization of Poverty in America. In an interview on National Public Radio, Edelman called Attorney General Sessions' action a terrible decision that he predicts will hurt millions of people across the nation. What happened in Ferguson was also found to be happening in many other U.S. cities, with local jurisdictions incarcerating poor people who couldn't afford to pay fines that added up over time. Even a small infraction, such as not mowing a lawn, could add up to owing the local government $1,000 or more. A common problem is taking away driver's licenses when people can't afford to pay for certain fees, such as vehicle registration. That leaves people with no legal way to drive to work, take their children to school, or give family members rides to the doctor. If caught driving on a suspended license, residents could be arrested and jailed, with fines growing so high that they could never escape that cycle of debt. In some cities, judges, prosecutors, and even public defenders are paid with funds raised from such systems, creating what Edelman calls a built-in conflict of interest. The Obama administration, in its 2016 letter sent to court officials across the nation, urged courts to consider alternatives to jailing poor people who can't pay fines or fees to assure that the justice system operated fairly and respected the constitutional rights of the poor. In rolling back that action, along with others, Sessions said he was ending the long-standing abuse of issuing rules by simply publishing a letter on a webpage. He did not give a specific reason for eliminating the guideline against excessive fines for poor defendants. His action was based on recommendations of a Justice Department task force authorized through an executive order issued by President Donald Trump. Lauren Brooke Eisen, senior counsel at the Brennan Center for Justice, denounced the decision by Sessions, CNN reports. Eisen calls the system of jailing poor people who can't possibly pay off huge fines a perverse, profit-based framework that helps spin the revolving door of the criminal justice system, a cycle that isn't likely to be broken anytime soon in the wake of the Trump administration's action. That decision is part of a pattern of actions by the Trump administration that have been punitive towards the poorest Americans, such as failing to provide funding for children's health care and pursuing cuts to Medicare and Social Security, even as the president's newly signed tax plan delivers huge tax cuts for the wealthiest people in the nation.
This is Gene Carpenter with the Capitol Report. President Donald Trump started the new year off with a tweet mocking North Korean President Kim Jong-un's power and the size of his nuclear button. The action came in response to Kim's New Year's announcement, in which the North Korean strongman boasted of having a nuclear button on his desk and stated, "The whole territory of the U.S. is within range of our nuclear strike," though the Korean leader added that he would not attack first unless threatened. Trump's bellicose tweet ratcheted up the rhetoric in decidedly undiplomatic wording. The U.S. president wrote of North Korea's leader, "Will someone from his depleted and food-starved regime please inform him that I too have a nuclear button, but it is a much bigger and more powerful one than his, and my button works." He also mocked Young II's offer of possible peace talks during the upcoming Winter Olympics. Trump stated, "Soldiers are dangerously fleeing to South Korea. Rocket Man now wants to talk to South Korea for first time. Perhaps that is good news. Perhaps not. We will see." U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley, speaking to the press at the United Nations, called Jong-un's regime reckless and indicated peace talks would not be taken seriously unless North Korea bans all nuclear weapons. South Korea's president, however, has said he sees the upcoming Olympics in Pyeongchang as an opportunity to improve relations with North Korea and de-escalate the nuclear threat. Recent tests and improvements in Kim Jong-un's arsenal have led military experts to warn that his claims of being able to reach the U.S. mainland, including the West Coast, are likely true, though accuracy of his aim remains a key question. San Diego Congressman Duncan Hunter has supported Trump's stance toward Korea in the past, and in September, the Republican representative for our region called for a first strike on the Korean regime. Hunter stated, "I would preemptively strike them. You could call it declaring war. Call it whatever you want." President Trump's remarks taunting the size of the Korean leader's nuclear button drew condemnation from Democrats and even some high-level Republican advisers. House Intelligence Committee member Jim Hines, a Democrat, stated on CNN that everyone who has been in a first-grade playground recognizes it's usually the person who's most aggressively pounding their chest that is in fact the weak one on the playground. Elliot Cohen, who served as counselor to Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice under Republican President George W. Bush, went further, stating that the tweet demonstrated an immaturity that is dangerous in a commander-in-chief. "Spoken like a petulant 10-year-old," Cohen wrote on Twitter, "but one with nuclear weapons, for real, at his disposal. How responsible people around him or supporting him can dismiss this or laugh it off is beyond me. Questions of whether the president is mentally fit to hold office are now being raised, including by CNN correspondent Brian Stelter, who has called the latest remarks madness." Stelter also questioned whether Trump's tweet violated Twitter's policy against threats of violence. Twitter has thus far not responded to his inquiry, Stelter has said on CNN.
As the California State Legislature reconvenes in the new year to consider important measures, including the state budget, the process just got more complicated for Democrats. Resignation of three Democratic members means the party has lost its supermajority. So, even though Democrats still retain a simple majority, without the two-thirds supermajority required, they won't be able to pass any measure that raises taxes without Republican support. One of the lawmakers, Assemblyman Sebastian Ridley Thomas, resigned last week due to serious health issues. Two others, Raul Bocanegra and Matt DeBobney, resigned after allegations of sexual harassment. A fourth legislator, State Senator Tony Mendoza, also a Democrat, has faced similar allegations but refused to resign until a formal investigation is conducted. The sexual harassment issue in the legislature mirrors similar allegations across the nation, from Hollywood to major media outlets to the Capitol in Washington, D.C., where U.S. Senator Al Franken steps down this week amid decades-old misconduct claims. The wake of prominent officials stepping down or being forced out of powerful positions without a trial or formal investigation first being concluded pits advocates of protecting women against those of arguing for due process, such as occurred in the McCarthyism era in the 1950s, when the mere accusation of communist ties ruined many prominent people's careers. In Sacramento, the vacancies in the state legislature will ultimately be filled by special elections held in each district. In the meantime, Democrats are apt to find themselves hamstrung in efforts to pass a budget, raise new revenues, or put proposals on a statewide ballot, since all of these actions require a two-thirds supermajority in both houses of the legislature. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
Local immigrants and refugees are giving back to the community, serving up dinner to the homeless with License to Freedom at Meridian Baptist Church in El Cajon. License to Freedom members have been helping the homeless for 2 years, including an event held on December 27th, 2 days after Christmas, since hunger is a year-round concern. The feeding events will continue through the new year. Meridian Baptist Church feeds the homeless every Wednesday night, and License to Freedom hosts the fourth Wednesday event each month. Dilquaz Ahmed, executive director of License to Freedom, says in feeding the homeless, you don't just bring a meal, you bring respect, love, and acceptance. We build bridges, she says, of the diverse communities participating, including refugees from Iraq, Syria, and Afghanistan, people who have known hardship themselves finding a better life in America. El Cajon City Council has temporarily banned feeding the homeless in public parks due to hepatitis concerns, but that ban doesn't apply to feedings held on private property, such as churches, and Mayor Bill Wells fully approves of the activities here. He says Meridian Baptist is doing it right. They're taking care of people, and they're doing it in a way that's safe, adding, I'm happy to see everyone here given the opportunity to get a good meal. Abdul Hadi and Lena Shabo were among those serving up meals to the homeless last week. They came to the United States in 2016 to escape violence and bombings in Syria. Another server is Jesus Pacheco of AHE Academies, who came here along with his wife. In the future, maybe they are here and we are there, he said of the homeless and hungry, adding, to be humble is so important. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Meridian Broadus.
This is John Fistier with a local government report from Spring Valley. Residents in the Casa de Oro area of Spring Valley have been holding meetings and getting organized, asking the county to help clean up the community and attract desirable businesses to their neighborhood. Many storefronts have been vacant for months or even years, and some new businesses have been considered undesirable near a middle school, including smoke shops, liquor stores, a hookah bar, and illegal pot shops shut down by law enforcement. But there are some bright spots. A new coffee shop is thriving, and an Italian bakery recently opened up its doors, along with a major pharmacy chain store. In response to residents concerned about the future of Casa de Oro, supervisors recently directed county planning and development services staff to come up with options for a plan to revitalize Casa de Oro along Campo Road and the surrounding areas. The county has planned 3 meetings for the public to hear the options, provide input and ideas to county staff. The first meeting was held January 2nd. The next meeting will be on Tuesday, January 9th at 7 p.m. at Otay Water District Headquarters in Spring Valley. Then on Wednesday, January 24th at 9 a.m., county supervisors will hold a hearing at the County Administration Building on Pacific Highway in downtown San Diego. If you have questions or would like more information, you can contact Tara Lieberman with County Planning and Development Services at 858-495-5466. That's Tara Lieberman at 858-495-5466.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering,
Get trained to be a citizen journalist and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Valerie Watts
and Jonathan Getz, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This is Jonathan Getz.
And this is Meridian Broaddus, guest hosting Destination East County.
This week's Destination East County includes Hawkwatch in Ramona, falconry demonstrations in Wanola, a star party and ancient Tibetan music at Mission Trails Regional Park, a Sinatra and Friends tribute concert in Borrego Springs, and Carnival Fantastique at Sequan.
Plus, we'll have coming attractions, including pianist John Nielsen in Descanso, Lore of the Kumeyaay at the Water Conservation Garden, Full Moon Fishing at Lake Jennings, The Mouse Trap at Lamplighters Theater, Martin Luther King Day events in Lemon Grove, live music at the San Pasquale Winery and Riviera Supper Club in La Mesa, the Oak Ridge Boys in concert at Sequan, San Diego Chamber Music Society at the La Mesa Library, a star party at Mission Trails, and Susical, the musical in Spring Valley.
So stay tuned for all of these events and many more.
The Wildlife Research Institute invites you to Hawk Watch each Saturday in January and February at 10 a.m. Visitors can see birds of prey such as hawks, eagles, and owls. Sponsored by the Wildlife Research Institute, this year Hawk Watch will not be held at the Institute's headquarters, but instead at Beegent Ranch, a private ranch open only for the Hawk Watch events. Guests are advised to arrive a half hour early for parking, bring binoculars, and enjoy coffee and donuts before viewing the raptors that make their homes in the Ramona grasslands. For more information, you can visit wildlife-research.org.
Master Falconer Cisco Clyburn will present a falconry demonstration at Wanola Pizza in Santa Isabel each Saturday in January from 11:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Guests will see interactive flights and educational demonstrations with hawks and falcons. You can watch a peregrine falcon swoop from the sky to allure, observe other falcons fly to a drone used to train them to reach elevated heights, and experience interactive flights with two Harris hawks who fly to the fist of a falconry glove. You can also take up close and personal photos with the raptors.
Mission Trails Regional Park invites you to a star party on Saturday, January 6th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. The park's trail guide and amateur astronomer, George Varga, will be at the far end of the Kumeyaay Lake Campground's day-use parking lot with a telescope available for viewing the nighttime sky. Viewing at this event will include the Pleiades, or Seven Sisters Constellation, the Double Cluster in Perseus, the Andromeda Galaxy, and more. Please do not bring lanterns or white light flashlights that could interfere with viewing these heavenly sights. This event will be canceled if it is raining or cloudy. For more information, you can visit Mission Trails Regional Park's website at mtrp.org.
Sinatra and Friends pays tribute to the man and his music, featuring countless songs synonymous with Frank Sinatra, as well as many other memorable favorites people have come to love. The performance will be staged at the Borrego Springs Performing Arts Center on Saturday, January 6th, with performances at 7:30 and 9 p.m. For tickets, visit the Borrego Springs Performing Arts Center's website at bspac.us.
Diane Mandel will perform a concert on ancient Tibetan bowls, gongs and percussions at Mission Trails Regional Park's Visitor Center Theater on Sunday, January 7th at 3 p.m. This sound immersion experience aims to soothe, inspire, and awaken your spirit. For details, you can visit mtrp.org.
Carnival Fantastique will bring performers from around the world to Sequan on January 7th in a celebration of music and action that combines gravity-defying acrobatics, contortionists, jugglers, comedy, beautiful dancers, and dynamic laser special effects. Atmospheric laser beams fill the theater as colorful animated laser graphics on the screen, center stage, introduce each of the performances. The finale highlights a one-of-a-kind laser Salute to America patriotic performance. You're invited to come one, come all. It's Carnival. For tickets, you can visit sequan.com.
Jonathan, that sounds like fun. Carnival, come one, come all. Now for a preview of coming attractions.
You're invited to find your inner Picasso as you take a painting lesson with a local artist and sip wine at San Pasquale's Winery Tasting Room in La Mesa on January 10th from 6 to 9 p.m. Each student will complete a painting to display at home. There is a fee that includes all supplies needed. For details, visit sanpasqualewinery.com.
Acclaimed pianist and songwriter John Nielsen will perform a solo piano concert on Saturday, January 13th at 2 p.m. at Chapel of the Hills Community Church in Descanso. You can meet the artist in a reception where his CDs will also be available. Nielsen is one of the Pacific Northwest's most successful performance and recording artists, with records that have sold over 1 million copies. His love of the outdoors is reflected in many of his works. Chosen a daring banjo artist in 2016, he has performed in all 50 states and many foreign countries, and 3 of his CDs hit the national charts. For more information on John Nielsen and his works, see johnnielsen.com. For directions to the church in Descanso, visit chapelofthehills.org.
The Water Conservation Garden will present The Lore of the Kumeyaay on January 13th from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. You can learn about the Native Americans who have inhabited San Diego County for over 10,000 years. Jan Tubiolo, longtime student of Kumeyaay culture, will teach about the history, spirituality, and daily lifestyle of the Kumeyaay, displaying tools and other items that were important to their lives. Students should bring a cushion or blanket to sit on, and in case of rain, the program will be moved indoors. For more information, you can visit thegarden.org.
You're invited to fish by the light of a full moon on Saturday, January 13th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Lake Jennings in Lakeside. The lake is stocked with trout, bass, bluegill, and sunfish. For more information, you can visit lakejennings.org.
Lamplighters Theater in La Mesa will present Agatha Christie's classic mystery, The Mousetrap, from January 13th through February 4th. A terrible snowstorm traps a group of strangers in a quaint boarding house. To everyone's horror, it soon becomes clear that a murderer is hiding among them. This thrilling whodunit by Agatha Christie, author of so many classic English murder mysteries, is known for its unpredictable ending. Can you pinpoint the murderer before the characters do? The original production of The Mousetrap on London's West End has now been running continuously for 61 years, during which period it's been performed more than 25,000 times, making it the most popular whodunit of all time, and the longest-running show of any type in the modern era. For tickets and details, visit lamplighterslamesa.com.
Wow, Jonathan, 25,000 times.
The longest running show of any type in the modern era.
That's incredible. This year marks 50 years since Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination. A celebration commemorating Dr. King and honoring local civil rights leaders will be held on January 19th at 7 p.m. at the Lemon Grove Community Church in Lemon Grove. For tickets and information on the honorees, visit the National Action Network's website at nansd.net.
Fingerstyle guitarist Jim Earp will perform at the San Pasquale Winery Tasting Room in La Mesa Village on January 20th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. He'll play original music in a style that blends Hawaiian slack key with Celtic guitar, also singing popular folk rock favorites. Wine, cheese, and dessert are available for purchase in the winery's cozy back room. For more information, visit sanpasqualewinery.com.
The city of Santee will host a national 50-kilometer race walk championship on January 20th in conjunction with the Santee Active Lifestyle Expo, aimed at promoting health and fitness. The expo will be held at the Trolley Square Shopping Center from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. with activities for kids and adults. Before the expo, spectators can watch the USA Track and Field National Championship Race Walk Competition with Olympic-caliber athletes walking faster than most people can run. The race will take place on Town Center Parkway and Riverview Drive from 7:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. The winner of the 50-kilometer race walk, that's over 31 miles, will receive an $8,000 prize. At the expo, breakfast sandwiches and Asahi bowls will be given out while supplies last. A kids' fit fun zone will feature a climbing wall, obstacle course, and giant fitness board game. BMX professionals will fly through the air on a half-pipe ramp. In addition, nearly 50 vendor booths will have samples, information, health, and wellness tips. Attendees wearing fitness attire and athletic shoes can try out a different fitness class every 30 minutes on the amphitheater stage. They can also run through the Extreme Fit obstacle course with more than 200 feet of inflatable obstacles and firefighter challenges. More information and a list of the fitness classes can be found at cityofsantee.gov.
The Oak Ridge Boys, who were recently inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame, will perform on Saturday, February 3rd at 5 p.m. in Saquon's Live and Up Close Theater in El Cajon. Their four-part harmonies and upbeat songs have won many awards, including a Grammy, Country Music Association, and American Country Music Awards, and they're still going strong after more than 40 years. For tickets, visit saquon.com.
That sounds like fun. 40 years, that's mighty a long time for the Oak Ridge Boys. Bruce and Beverly Dorsey with the San Diego Chamber Music Society will perform a concert with piano and horn at the La Mesa Library on February 10th at 1 p.m. The La Mesa Library hosts free concerts on the second Saturday each month, thanks to support from Friends of La Mesa Library.
Those are always a lot of fun free concerts.
Always a good time.
San Pasquale Winery Tasting Room in La Mesa's downtown village will host live music by Stage 4 Jazz on February 17th at 7 p.m. Stage 4 is a dynamic group with a repertoire that spans jazz, rhythm and blues, and more. Learn more at sanpasqualewinery.com.
The Martin Luther King Jr. Community Choir of San Diego's ensemble will be performing gospel and inspirational songs at the Lemon Grove Library on Saturday, February 17th at 2 p.m. The ensemble's music celebrates the history of Negro spirituals. The event aspires to be inspirational and uplifting. For more information, you can visit the choir's website at mlkccsd.org.
View the Andromeda Galaxy, the Orion Nebula, and other celestial sights during a star party at Mission Trails Regional Park on Saturday, February 17th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Amateur astronomer and trail guide George Varga will have a telescope available for viewing the night sky at the far end of the Kumeyaay Lake Campground's day-use parking lot. Learn more at mtrp.org.
Young Actors Theater will present Seussical, the musical, at the Encore Theater in the Casa de Oro area of Spring Valley from February 22nd through March 4th. This musical production brings to life your favorite Dr. Seuss characters from The Cat in the Hat to Horton the Elephant. For tickets, visit yatsandiego.org or call 619-670-1627.
Riviera Supper Club in La Mesa has live bands on stage in the Turquoise Room most nights throughout February and March. Upcoming Saturday night headliners include Baja Bugs, Ron and the Reapers, Gino and the Lone Gunman, Black Market 111, Shark Jones, and Vinyl Pirates. For a list of entertainment, visit RivieraSupperClub.com.
That's all for this week.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website, or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around East County.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
This is Krajani Broadus with the Health Report. The County Board of Supervisors extended the local public health emergency for hepatitis A again on Tuesday, but efforts are now underway to transition out of the emergency amid declining case numbers. Public health officials told the board that they were assuring all new processes and procedures were being put in place to end the emergency declaration that was declared in September. The board is required to review the need of continuing the emergency every 14 days. 6 new cases were reported in the last 2 weeks, bringing the total number of cases in the outbreak to 577, resulting in 396 hospitalizations and 20 deaths. From May to September of last year, there were an average of 84 cases reported each month. In November, that number dropped to 21, and in December, it declined further to just 7 cases. The county has worked with cities in the region to increase vaccinations, improve sanitation and education in vulnerable populations about the hepatitis outbreak, efforts that appear to have helped bring the outbreak under control.
President Donald Trump on Tuesday approved a request by California Governor Jerry Brown for a federal disaster declaration due to wildfires in Southern California that began in early December, including the Lilac Fire in San Diego's North County, as well as devastating fires in Los Angeles, Ventura, and Santa Barbara counties. An earlier declaration covered fires in Northern California. California Senators Kamala Harris and Dianne Feinstein sent Trump a letter calling the wildfire season in California catastrophic, noting that over 1.2 million acres have burned in the state this year. Since early December, 6 large wildfires have burned nearly 300,000 acres in Southern California and killed 2 people, including CAL FIRE engineer Corey Iverson of San Diego, who lost his life in the Thomas Fire. Governor Brown has said that the recent fires destroyed over 1,000 homes. In San Diego County, the Lilac Fire burned 4,100 acres in North County and destroyed over 200 buildings, also claiming the lives of dozens of horses. The governor's office indicates federal aid will help with debris removal to eliminate the threats to public health and safety and enable future rebuilding. The governor also requested FEMA disaster relief to help with housing and temporary shelters, unemployment assistance, and other services for fire survivors, though it is unclear whether all of those actions are included in the federal declaration. San Diego's congressional delegation had voiced bipartisan support for the disaster relief for our region. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Fistier.
A brush fire in the East Ridge area of La Mesa caused some nervous moments for nearby residents on Tuesday afternoon. Firefighters from Heartland Fire and Rescue, San Miguel Fire, and San Diego Fire Departments responded to the blaze shortly after 1:30 p.m. Crews arrived within 4 minutes to find a small spot fire on a slope along High Street near homes close to State Routes 125 and Highway 94. The blaze grew to about an acre before crews were able to halt the forward spread. There were no evacuations, but motorists were advised to avoid the area for a couple of hours. A homeless woman seen running from the scene was detained for questioning by the sheriff and La Mesa police, but she was later released. The cause of the fire remains under investigation. The midwinter fire's quick spread in dry conditions serves as a reminder that in an era of climate change, fire season here is now year-round. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
This is East County Magazine's People Power, profiling local people making a positive difference in our community and our world.
This is Krajani Broaddus with the People Power Report. It's been nearly 50 years since civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. was slain by an assassin's bullet in April 1968, but his legacy was long-lasting, including his successful efforts to secure passage of the Civil Rights Act and Voting Rights Act. This month, the National Action Network in San Diego will host two events to honor Dr. King and those who have followed in his footsteps, also setting goals for continuing his efforts into the future. An event titled, Where Are We 50 Years Later, will be held on January 19th at the Lemon Grove Community Church in Lemon Grove at 7 p.m. The celebration will feature guest speaker Jane Elliott, an anti-racism activist who will discuss her historic Brown Eyes, Blue Eyes exercise. The event will also honor local civil rights leaders, including Black Political Association of California's president, Dr. William Blair, Dr. Cheryl Morrow, editor of the San Diego Monitor newspaper, and Alan Cabrera of Ideas Cabrera, and Raymond Wiley, an African-American man who has contended he was racially profiled by a San Diego police officer last year. In addition, to commemorate what would have been Dr. King's 88th birthday, and set an agenda for the new year, the National Action Network will hold its second annual Martin Luther King Jr. Day march highlighting 100 ministers and the people. The annual King Day march, organized by the National Action Network, will be held January 15th starting at 2:30 p.m. This event will highlight the issues that Dr. King stood for. Participants should meet at 2 p.m. at Park Boulevard and B Street in San Diego. The march will end with a rally at City Hall that will highlight four key issues that activists hope to see addressed in 2018: homelessness, jobs, voting rights, and criminal justice police reform. For tickets and more information on these events, you can visit the National Action Network San Diego website at nansd.net.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat, on the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Miriam Raftery with a Crime Beat report. The California Highway Patrol seeks public help to locate the driver of a 2003 silver Hyundai who fled the scene of a fatal accident. The driver struck and killed a 29-year-old man on Wednesday, January 3rd, around 8 p.m. The victim was walking along Highway 79 south of Mesa Grande Road in Santa Isabel. The vehicle was later found by law enforcement abandoned 17 miles away from the crash along State Route 79 north of Fink Road, according to Officer Travis Garrow with the California Highway Patrol, but the driver has not been located. CHP also seeks witnesses to this collision. If you have information regarding this accident, you are urged to contact the California Highway Patrol at 619-401-2000. That number again, 619-401-2000. No other vehicles were believed to be involved, and at this time it's not clear whether alcohol or drugs were factors. Earlier in the same evening, another pedestrian was struck and killed on State Route 79 in the Iguanga area. The driver in that crash has been arrested and charged with driving under the influence and manslaughter. These tragedies underscore the importance of drivers being alert for pedestrians at night, and also the importance of pedestrians wearing light-colored clothing and reflective items to be more visible to motorists if you must travel on foot after dark.
As the holidays come to a close, fire safety is just as important as at any other time of year, and the risks with dry Christmas trees are greater than ever. Christmas trees dried out early due to low humidity and winds prior to Christmas, says East County Magazine columnist Fire Chief Sam DiGiovanna. A dry tree can ignite quickly, swiftly engulfing a home in flames. That's why it's important to to safely remove that dried-out Christmas tree now, if you haven't already done so. A dead tree left in your home is a significant threat. Don't let these holidays get ruined by a Christmas tree fire in the new year. For a list of tree cycling sites, you can visit wastefreesd.org. And don't forget, other fire dangers lurk at this time of year, with colder temperatures upon us. Be careful to properly keep flammable items away from any source of fire or heat, including space heaters. Install and rely on a properly operating CO alarm, and start the year off right with properly fitted smoke alarms. Happy New Year, and make it a safe one. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Pistier.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Jonathan Goetz with the Green Scene Report. If you're looking to get outdoors and get in shape after the holidays, or you just want to be inspired by nature, here's some good news for you. San Diego County Parks and Recreation Department has launched a new Trails app that makes it easy to get information on hiking, biking, and riding paths in our parks and preserves. Easy to Hike is a free app that allows users to locate and view trailheads, park maps, and points of interest in Southern California and beyond. Easy to Hike shares recommended routes near you, including park names and addresses, photos, and in some cases, videos, as well as descriptions to help you prepare for the trail experience. Maps can also be downloaded for access offline. Jessica Geisler, Marketing and Public Outreach Manager for County Parks, says they're building virtual connections between park users and staff, including notifications of timely information, such as buzzing users if you reach an area that's closed for safety or restoration reasons. Geisler says, "It's all part of creating that balance between recreation and ongoing efforts to sustain the natural environment." County Parks went live with trails at these 16 properties so far: Agua Caliente County Park, Dos Picos County Park, El Monte County Park, Gooden Ranch Sycamore Canyon County Preserve, Guajome Regional Park, Hellhole Canyon County Preserve, Lake Morena County Park, Seltzer County Park, San Dieguito County Park, San Alijo Lagoon Ecological Reserve, Santa Isabel East and West County Preserves, Sweetwater Summit Regional Park, Tijuana River Valley Regional Park, Vulcan Mountain Wilderness Preserve, and Wilderness Gardens County Preserve. Additional parks will be added in the coming months. App creators will also be launching new benefits, like the ability to send instant messages to park staff, and opportunities to learn about upcoming activities and events. You can download Easy to Hike from your mobile device today to start exploring in the new year.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from our region.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Goetz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine Radio Show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show.